I love what I do. Every day is different. There's always a challenge. The unpredictability of it, you just never know what's going to be presented. And I like being able to help people solve problems.
No day is the same for country vet Rebel Skirving, and that's just the way she likes it. One moment she's delivering a calf out in the paddock, the next she's comforting a pet owner back in the surgery. 14-year-old Misha the cat is in failing health, and a tough decision needs to be made today. Hello, I'm Kate Hill. Rebel and her husband Stuart run a large country vet practice in the South Australian town of Mount Gambier. I've spent some time on the road and in the clinic to see what the job really entails.
Rebel, tell me what you were doing on Sunday afternoon while the rest of us were enjoying the sunshine.
I was also enjoying the sunshine, relaxing on the grass with a cow. I got called out to a farm to assist a cow that was having difficulty giving birth, and she unfortunately had a dead calf stuck inside her, and it was quite a bit of work to try and get the dead calf out to save the cow's life. About 2.5 hours worth of blood, sweat and almost tears. We were successful, got the calf out. And I phoned the farmer the next day to see how the cow was going, and she was up and about.
That's a good day for you, isn't it?
I love it.
What do you wish someone had told you about becoming a vet all those years ago?
I was really lucky because I worked with vets when I was younger, and they were really honest with me about what to expect out in the big wide world. One of my mentors, David, told me very early on, before I even started vet school, he said, you'll work long hours for shit pay, and you'll cop a lot of bodily fluids that you never expected. But it is really rewarding. And his honesty right back in those early days triggered my interest as much as anything. I've never been afraid of getting dirty. I've always had a very scientific kind of brain. I love knowing how things work and why they work and how to fix them when they're broken. And the natural combination of all those things was to go into veterinary science and find out what makes animals tick and when they're broken, how to fix them again.
People probably assume that you went into veterinary science because of a love for animals. Was that there as well?
You've always got to have a love of animals, and I think it's very cliche. You talk to people and the standard response is, I love animals. I think it's probably more accurate from my point of thing to say I love people and working with people to help their animals. The animals I have a great deal of respect for, and their position in society I think is undervalued in a lot of cases, that people just see production animals as part of the food chain, but they're a livelihood. You know, there's families out there that rely on production animals as their income, and I think it's really important for us as vets to realise that it's not just a cow or just a sheep. This is someone's livelihood that we're dealing with. Same with companion animals. Doesn't matter if it's a dog or a ferret or a horse, that animal is someone's companion and it's their part of their lifestyle. Most of our work involves working with people. I think a lot of people that come into the veterinary profession have a very romanticised idea that you spend all day working with animals, which is true to a degree, but you don't ever get to see the animals unless you deal with the people first. So a lot of our day is phone calls, consultations with people, it's working side by side with farmers out in the paddock.
I imagine that you see some pretty good variances in human behaviour when it comes to their animals, would you not?
We get every end of the spectrum, from the very practical and economical business farming decisions right through to the very emotive, compassionate companion animal decisions. So, and every person's relationship with their animals is different. Sometimes it is purely business, other times it's very personal.
You had to euthanize a 14-year-old cat. Does that sort of thing affect you, having to see an animal at the start of its life and then having to also put an end to its life?
Yeah, it does. As a young vet, I always found euthanasias challenging because it's a very emotional time, it's a very stressful time. Having to voluntarily terminate a life is quite a challenging concept. I always thought as I got older and more experienced as a vet that that situation would become a lot easier, that it would, I guess I assumed I'd become desensitised to the whole process. But I found that as I've got older and more experienced and certainly being settled in the one practice for such a long period of time, the situation becomes a whole lot more complex because, as you said, a lot of the animals that I'm seeing, you know, at the end of their life now, I've been there at the start of their life and have been through the whole life process with the animal and the owners. So it's not only just the actual event of the euthanasia, which is a challenging situation, it's the big picture. It's knowing the animal and what it's been through. It's knowing the owner and knowing what they've been through, knowing how much the animal means to them. The longer I'm here and the more I get to know people and know their animals, the more emotionally involved you get, particularly in situations like euthanasia where it is so potentially confronting.
What's your downtime? When you get off duty, how do you like to de-stress?
Most of my relaxation techniques involve fossil fuels. So I love my cars and I love my power tools. I don't like sitting still. One of my pet hates is the TV.
And talking of the box, what does Rebel Skirving think of those TV vet shows?
I guess it worries me a bit that some of the veterinary programs that are out there are not necessarily true reflections of how the profession runs. I think a lot of the programs and stories that are viewed on TV are sanitised. The real harsh realities of the stories that we deal with are sometimes edited out. I know a lot of people find topics like euthanasia very confronting. Unfortunately, it's almost a daily event that we need to deal with as vets. I think most vets in the real world out there would vouch that a lot of what we do is pretty dirty. Some of it's pretty disgusting. There is a lot of death involved. We see a lot of students that come through to get work experience in the veterinary practice are quite shocked at the amount of blood and guts and vomit and diarrhea that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. There is a lot of cleaning involved in being a vet. Especially a country vet, you require a lot of changes of clothes. You need a very good washing machine.
Rebel also likes to keep some mementos from the job she does. Little specimens she can take out on school excursions.
I have a little pathology collection in the laboratory, which includes everything from cancerous lumps to bladder stones, fish hooks that we've removed from all sorts of weird and wonderful places in animals. There are aborted fetuses. Parasites is one of the things that really grosses me out, but it's a bit of a morbid fascination, so I like to collect maggots and worms in jars. But also because they make quite good props when I go and do talks at schools and kindies, and people love looking at all those, you know, weird and wonderful things that you don't normally see.
Are they fascinated or are they revolted?
I think it's a combination of both, and I think it's really interesting seeing people's responses. You know, if you take an eyeball in a jar to a class of kids, it's amazing how many of them are actually really genuinely intrigued to have a look and see how it all works.